Yeah, I think we're set. And that's working, and that's working.
Can you spare a piece of paper?
All right. Thanks, man. Hey, can you look at this real quick before you walk out of here?
Can you spare a piece
maybe
of paper?
Maybe super glue. Can you push that down just a little bit, you think? And I will change the color on that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Your book is full.
Dun, 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 dun. Every time Richard and I do this, we get a little bit more professional for as amateurish as we are.
You look happy.
Oh, I see.
I think we got it.
Yeah.
You're doing something good.
Cool.
I'm not sure what, but you're doing something good.
You know, I'm so tied to that. I forgot that this is locked up. I go totally battery.
I don't think I told you last week. I set up the extension cord and everything, and then I left the power cable dangling there and forgot to plug it in. So that's why you got the phone back at like 50% battery.
I don't even have my data.
That's fine. Then let's just forget about that and have some more flexibility with what we're doing.
Well, you know, it is a major strain on the battery to use it like that. You'd rather have it plugged in.
From.
Oh, and I didn't tell you, I got your phone over to my brother-in-law. He'll be seeing it today. Yeah. I don't have an answer yet, but...
Are you going to start this meeting? It's 9:04.
So you've got 11 minutes delayed.
And we're 30% up today.
That's amazing. From last week?
Yeah, last week we were 130%.
That's what you told me.
Well, that's not bad. I wonder what if I get unlimited data. Coral video, which is pretty worthless.
And that's probably why. Hey, my camera's moving. I just lost video feed. Well, Scott tries to do an amazing amount of stuff with hobbled together technology. I wouldn't recommend it to normal people. Yeah, no, I totally lost my signal.
To everything?
No, to you. Oh, yeah, to everything. What just happened? You just happened to move it at the same time we were getting disconnected. Well, we should be back online now.
I'm not connected again.
It's back up.
That's much nicer.
So we've got a bigger problem. Our Wi-Fi keeps cutting out.
I'm going to move over to a restaurant and see what that does.
I don't think I can reach the restaurant.
I've only got too little.
There's definitely something going on with that router. I wonder if that router is... Because it's working great until all of a sudden it cuts out.
I'm no food at all. Gotta go to the bank.
Restaurant not good. And now I don't even see Tequila's bar.
Well, I'm on Tequila's bar, and it's working fine right now. Yours is probably just a...
Garrett showed up.
Yeah, it's probably that cycle of searching. You're probably just in between when it disappeared and when it's coming back.
I'm trying to read about... Telcel is offering home internet.
Yes.
Yes. And...
I think
people in Loma
at the moment, any problems we're having is not that camera. I think they have a data cap on their connection.
No, it says unlimited.
Oh, it does?
Yes, it does.
Awesome.
Unlimitada.
Okay. I am one of two viewers right now. And they're not watching anything.
Phyllis might be on.
That might be Phyllis.
She's confused about the day and the time right now.
Oh, hey, I just got another viewer.
Well, I know it's... Yeah.
I'm one of three. I may not be able to handle the fame and popularity.
So she's still in it.
One of three people watching us.
Last week she left.
We're so popular that I'm one of the three viewers.
And they're heading down here on the 12th.
No, I know, but
I don't know. They're anonymous.
It was about 6 weeks after Ray died that I came down. It was the best thing I could have done.
Well, that's the red side in July, and I left in October.
Thank you.
People
did that come through?
Yeah, I said, yeah, I am.
We could just eat your bacon here. We could just eat your bacon here to put it out, right?
No way. I'm not that generous.
Oh, good, that's working.
Good with the salad tonight.
Be good in the sandwiches afternoon.
Yeah.
All right, my countdown has started. We're 5 minutes until we're supposed to start.
Tomatoes, yeah.
So it
it's amazing to have so many failures just moments before we start, and now everything's working fine.
Really?
As soon as I press the button, it's going to all fall apart.
Here is 10 megabytes for $17.50. Well, it's about right. Thank you. You're welcome. So you have to buy your modem.
Yeah.
Which one did you buy? Huawei or Alcatel?
Mercil.
Huawei.
Mercil.
Huawei or Alcatel.
Oh. Are you talking about for a modem, for a cellular modem? Just offhand, dealing with the equipment in this day and age, I would do Huawei.
Okay. Because it says that Telcel is offering two modems. Huawei for 1439 pesos and Alcatel for
1479.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's, if that's the price difference, then I would imagine the Huawei is a crappier equipment.
Just make sure you can change your DNS. It's easier, but you don't have to.
Yeah, but if you have at least that capability, then you've got some control over how you're going
to
set it up.
In March. Okay, you don't have an extra spare router.
I do. And it also says that AT&T is offering
going to the copper canyon
with 2-tier residential.
40 other people. Yeah.
We're going to have those 40.
Good, you're on the right mic.
Come up to our house.
You're right on time, Scott. You're 11 minutes late.
And Doug,
it's not 11 minutes late.
It's 9:11.
Right, we start at 9:15.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've only started at 9:15 for the last 8 years.
I don't look at, I just happen to have the time up there. I don't look at any watches. I gave up on clocks when I came down here.
Is that a house going in there?
It was.
It was. It got stopped.
It may be.
It's the stupidest place for a house.
Well, it was a ploy to make them buy the lot.
And then I heard the guy doesn't even own the property that was started the building. I heard that as a rumor. That was a rumor.
Yeah.
Well, it's supposed to be in his lease.
It is.
Rumor has
yes.
it.
Captain's Club lease. that is a no build.
So it's all rumor.
And it predates the paperwork that this guy came up with.
Oh, shit.
So, but he had to pay all the attorneys.
So, in other words, it's going to sit that way for 2 years when he buys this out.
It depends whether you've got it stopped or not. I mean, it's easy to knock off one row of bricks and put dirt back on it.
Yeah.
That's all it is, basically.
Okay. We are. I just hit the live button.
See, there's.
What happened when you hit the live button?
Did
everything fall apart?
We're live now.
Okay.
It is live. We are. I just hit the live button. See? We're out there on the internet now.
Woohoo!
Hello, Internet!
With a small delay. We can hear you after you say it.
That's right. That's why we shouldn't listen at the same time. It gets confusing. My brain gets duplicated.
Look at the details.
I know you people like to listen to me talk, but I don't.
At least not twice.
At least not twice. That's right.
That way it sinks in, though.
Yeah, that way you get,
Now it's doing it again.
What's doing what again?
It just kicked me off again.
You just lost internet?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh, that might mean I'm going to lose internet.
I'm just going to stop it. So.
Have you tried using the restaurant?
I do, but I don't get enough to do anything. It's
not enough signal from here.
Incorrect password for Tequila's restaurant.
That's weird. It should just be Tequila's. Well, welcome, one and all, to our San Carlos Computer Club meeting. As per norm, I'm Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions. The interminable guest host of this meeting. But this meeting is your meeting, and I like to start it out asking you guys if you have any questions or topics you'd like to bring to it.
Rather than waiting to the end,
okay.
Do you have an update on 13?
On 13, I haven't heard any horror stories yet.
What's 13?
In iOS 13, if you have a device before the iPhone 11, there's a good chance that you're running iOS 12, and they're telling you to upgrade to iOS 13. iOS 13 has been plagued with problems since its release, and it has been my recommendation to stay away from the update until you get a recommendation from me that says you can update now. If you've already updated to 13 before hearing this PSA, then the best thing you can do is make sure you've got the latest updates, and the latest update is 13.2. And I have not heard, 13.2 was released, I think, just hours before our last meeting.
Yes, it was.
And I have heard no fallout from it, which is a good sign. That means that quite possibly this is the one that you should be moving to. But I cannot confirm that yet. I haven't read any reviewer saying this is ready. And I think being normal people, there's no reason for you to be a beta tester of this software. So just maybe wait another week before pulling the trigger on updating your iOS device.
But it's been a week.
It has been a week, and there has not been any...
Exactly.
There has been no articles about how it's all screwed up.
There's not a 13.2.1 yet.
Not yet. That's right. That's a very good point. There isn't a 13.2.1 yet.
If you just say update, does it go to the one that you need?
Yeah, if you go into settings under software update, all it's going to download for you is the latest one. Okay. So the only reason you would, if you're already on 13 and you're not on the latest one, the reason is because you have it set to manual updates and you haven't gone back and let it update.
It's settings general software.
Yeah, when I left here last week, I looked at it and it's 12.3, I believe, 12.3 point something else.
You just looked at it and didn't do anything about it?
No.
Is that what you have in it? Is it offering you an update?
It, yeah.
Is it offering you an update?
I didn't get that far. I just looked at what it had and decided, okay, it's going to stay that way until I hear it.
So if it's offering you an update, there should be a red dot somewhere in the update. Otherwise, it would say you're completely up to date. And this is another thing that's been going on, is that your older devices, any iOS device that's old, an iPhone 5 or older, the iPads of those generations as well, they're only able to go up to a certain... They can't go up to 13, but they need to be updated to the latest possible because of a new security... No, not a security. Well, it is security. Well, and basically, it's too late. 2 days ago, you should have had it up to date. I mentioned this last week, but these older iOS devices, because of what's changing for security, if they had not been updated to their latest update, then by November 3rd, they were not going to be able to connect to the internet. So if you have an old iPhone, like an iPhone 4 or an iPhone 5 or an old iPad, if it didn't get this latest update, there's a good chance that it's not connecting to the internet right now.
That might be why my Fitbit stopped working to stop.
No, they have nothing to do with your Fitbit.
No.
This is all iOS products. This is all Apple products.
Fitbit is saying that it won't work on an Apple product, and they're trying to fix that. It worked fine for 3.5 years, and then all of a sudden they had problem with
maybe that has
Apple
to do
products.
With that.
It would work on my tablet, but not on my iPhone.
Well, I don't think that would be related to what I'm talking about.
No.
But to me, these are two PSAs for Apple device owners. If they're old devices, older than iPhone 5, you want to have them all the way up to date. Right now, if you've got an old Apple device that you can't get online that was working before, this is the reason. The only way to fix that is to plug it into a computer or take it to somebody like me and get it to flash the update over to it from a computer. It has to be connected with a cable. You can no longer do it over the internet after November 3rd. The other PSA is that if you've got an Apple device that's relatively recent, like an iPhone 6 or newer, then there's a good chance that you're being offered the iOS 13 update. Stay away from it, at least for another week.
What? You've already done it.
If you've already done it, then make sure you're completely up to date. Okay, if you haven't done it, stay away from it for at least another week. I see a hand over there.
I have a 13. This is, I don't know, 3-4 months old. A 7?
Yeah.
I have 13.1.3.
Okay, you wanna push the update to 13.2. That's the best thing you can do. You want to make sure that it gets updated. I'm sorry, Irving, I know you've had your hand up for a while. What's going on?
If you're done with the subject, I have an iPad problem that I've had last week and the week before, but it's getting worse. I have about 70% at least of battery power. I turn it on when I'm in portable mode. It goes on, and then it shuts down.
Okay, your battery health is probably bad. And if, do you know, I don't know, do you know what operating system you have in it? I believe if you've got 12 or higher, we're talking about an iPad, right?
Yeah.
If you've got iOS 12 or higher, there should be a section in there telling you in the settings. And honestly, I've never looked at it. I've only read about it. But there should be a place in there that tells you your battery health.
Okay.
It should say good, bad.
There's a little... It says battery.
Jody knows. It says battery, and what do you expect to see on it? Excellent, good, bad? Oh, wow. That's really impressive. I had not looked at that at all. That is very cool. It's very similar to the Android phone's battery graph.
And then it'll tell you what is using all your battery to by app. So if you're playing a lot of games.
Well, I'm afraid since it's an iPad, you're going to have to find somebody that works on iPads to change the battery. And depending on the generation, like the very original iPads are very easy to work on, but depending on the generation, it could be just glued together, which is a real pain to work on. Irving?
Hold it, it's not my iPad, it's my HP.
Okay. In that respect, if somebody's trying to get a battery changed, they know is a difficult task because it's glued together. We've talked about my brother-in-law has a cell shop in town. He's just updated all his equipment. He's got a beautiful table there for warming up these screens so you can peel off this stuff. And so he's become quite the expert at these kinds of repairs there in Wymouth. So if you think you need that kind of repair, get with me and I'll make sure you've got his information. Or because he's family, we take a lot of his repairs at our office that just get sent to his office.
Well, his brother, he says. You say your brother works on this in Wymouth?
My brother-in-law, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Scott?
Yes?
He's had his hand up for a while.
What you got, Paul?
Celestina has an iPhone 6S.
So you should keep it off of iOS 13 if you can, if you have not already updated. It's a little difficult because you would have had to have preemptively chosen not to allow it to install updates automatically. So you would have done that originally, and then it would be telling you, hey, there's a new update, and you would be purposely ignoring it. It's a little late because you would have had to have all those thoughts going on, yeah, beforehand. Yeah, but if it is offering you an update to 13, then you're not updated yet, and you should not update yet.
Well, it's in Spanish, so it doesn't do me any
good. You can read numbers; they're the same.
After you have an interpreter.
A
That's a good point.
If you have any question about this stuff, don't touch anything about updates and bring it to club, and I'll tell you exactly what's going on with the device. I'll end up with a stack of iPhones right. over here going, okay, yeah, this one's already updated. Yeah. This one's not updated. This one.
But you can read the numbers.
That's right.
If it says 13, it's 13.
Well, and we are excited for 13.
I have a phone.
Yes,
not me literally, because I don't have an iDevice at the moment, but the iCommunity is excited by 13 because there's an amazing amount of features that are coming out with it, including faster performance for older devices and longer battery life for older devices.
That's
so,
a good thing.
So we're really excited for 13 to come out. We're just not moving to it yet because of the problems they've had. Dance party. What else we got? Say that again, Linda. I'm sorry. Any updates on the Apple TV? Are you talking about the service or the device?
The service.
Yeah, didn't it start on the 1st of November?
Yeah.
So what I read was it was starting with 5 premium shows and no back catalog. Do you have Apple TV?
I do, but I don't have it hooked up.
What's on it?
What's on it is all original content. What the Apple TV move represents is Apple throwing money at something until they can dominate. And so we talked about it last week a little bit. They've got about $250 billion in cash. Like, that's quite a petty cash box they've got.
Yes.
They've thrown $2 billion at this project. Like, they're just ready to eat $2 billion trying to build this project. They're not worried about subscribers. They want you to buy equipment. If you buy equipment, you get a free year of Apple TV. So if you go out and buy a new iPhone, you instantly get the service for a year. They've priced the service at $4.99, and they said there's going to be a bunch more content coming, I think, at the end of this year. I think we're expecting it just right at the end of the year.
Okay,
yeah, Irving.
You mentioned some TV service, though, that was supposed to be coming out.
Last year, YouTube TV.
That may be better than all of them put together.
Well, we've talked a lot about Disney Plus.
Oh, is that the one?
It might be. They,
well, that's my question. Right
yeah.
now. I wanted to get American TV here in Mexico. I switched the dish because DirecTV got crooked.
It's nuts.
And I'm going crazy with that. I can only get part of my program.
If
is there a service that really works for American TV right now that I can subscribe to?
Yeah, a lot of people are happy with, Linda helps people with the IPTV. And like Gary's using Radiosity right now. Have you been very satisfied with that?
This year it's been 99%.
The feature I need, these other people, I don't know about that one.
Yeah.
I need to be able to record. Dish and DirecTV
no.
can record.
No. No. Any of these things we're talking about. There may be a way to record. I mean, I can imagine in my head a hodgepodge of connections that would allow me to do it, but I can't imagine a normal person going through all that. There isn't a record button.
Yeah, but there's cloud recording. I think.
Yeah, YouTube TV. You can set a recording for the future, and it will save that program for you.
Well, that's a good point. It's not exactly the same thing, but it is. It's very close. And the paper or the not pay the on demand viewing is available through certain services. So that if you were to want to watch a show, the YouTube TV service. Paul, are you using that down here?
No, I'm not. But I use YouTube a lot, and it's always advertising.
Yeah.
So I looked into the facts and figures. But it costs like $50 a month.
Yeah, it seems like it wasn't cheap.
But it's in the category of cut the cable, use internet TV streaming.
Yeah, and it's a combination of TV streams and content, like on-demand content, right? Christine, what were you going to... You were talking about cloud recording.
There is cloud recording on some of the services like Hulu, I think.
Oh, that's interesting. Now, I mean, like, Hulu is not the greatest example just because you'd have to have something like Smart DNS Proxy or a VPN to get access to it.
All access you need to have.
Right.
DNS Proxy.
Yep.
So does YouTube offer a full spectrum of programming, like the whole...
They are offering a lineup of live TV channels that is abundant. And they're also part of that, they have an on-demand bundle of content as well.
Also recordable?
Well, if it's on-demand, it's already recorded.
Right up in the cloud.
Yeah. And then what Paul's telling me, and I haven't seen the ads, but what he's saying is that what they're advertising is the ability to select future programming for recording so that you can go back and watch it later.
Okay.
So that's probably, that sounds like the closest to what you might be looking
okay,
for.
So that's the way I got it.
Yeah. But what did you say you saw a price for that? Like $50?
$49.99.
And then you're still going to need to deal with something like a Smart DNS Proxy, I would imagine.
It's combined.
Say again?
It's combined. You get what is the best proxy that works with them the best.
Okay.
It's part of the package. And you can drop it anytime you want, they say.
No wait, proxy. So when you get it from YouTube, they turn you on to a proxy server that lets you use it anywhere?
That's what they say, yeah.
Well, that's interesting. I haven't seen that advertising at all.
Yes, AliExpress. So.
Do you have the service?
I don't. No, I haven't jumped. Because at home we have Cox, you know, and this would supplant or replace Cox.
That's the idea, is that the YouTube TV service would just eliminate your need for cable or satellite.
Seventy channels? Yeah, as of July 31st.
Yeah, it changes all the time. Yeah.
How many of those are shopping and religion?
Yeah.
I know, you're using that USA or TV to go. Well, I've forgotten the address of it now. Oh, the Radiosity. You're using Scott's Radiosity. And that's what Gary's using as well.
Service has quality has improved over the last few years.
Yeah. Yeah, the only problem with that is that you can't do things like recording. Yeah.
Can you go down locally and buy a Fire Stick with instructions that you could understand?
I don't know if I've seen any Fire Sticks being sold locally. Okay. They're available on Amazon.mx. You can have them.
Yeah, some people install them themselves.
And Scott, if you get it from him, he usually has some that he can sell to you.
That's typically Scott Bailey. If you get into his service, he'll sell you the stick. He normally has a stack of them.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's proven to be a really good system, especially recently. Yeah. Both the guys at the end are reporting that it's been better than ever this last couple of months.
I have grandkids who are technologically knowledgeable. They were speaking Greek. I have no idea what these kids were talking about, so I thought, I'm going to do it on my own. So you're pleased with the Fire Stick. Okay.
If you put YouTube TV on Apple, it's going to cost you $55. Yeah. So when they raise it, it'll cost you another
$10. That's so Apple can get their piece.
Well, DirecTV now for nothing.
That's $120. That, it doesn't cost you a thing.
You know, the way the Apple deal works is if you have an app that makes money, they get 30% of it. Apple doesn't really do anything except have a storefront. They don't even host your app. Your app is hosted on your own servers. But for your Apple customers to find the app, you have to go to the Apple store. And to be in the store, if you're charging for your product, Apple gets 30%. That's why if you're using a newsreader from Apple, it's a different, like Wall Street Journal, for example. It's a different price on the Apple app than it is just going to their website. It's the reason that you can't buy items with your Amazon app on an Apple device. Because if they were to sell you stuff through that, then Apple would get 30% commission on it.
Oh, is that right? So,
yeah, so if you're on your iPhone and you're going through your Amazon app and you're like, oh, I need garbage bags, and you hit buy, it takes you out to a web browser so that you can do the purchase without it going through the app. so that it doesn't get registered with Apple as a sale.
Well, that's how they can spend that much money on that TV program you were talking about.
Yeah, right. That's exactly why. That's why they've got so much free cash.
Was that the movie thing where the movie people were fighting the...
No, never mind.
Well, all of their developers are fighting with them about the 30... I'm not sure what you're talking about, but all of their developers have fought with them about this 30%. And it's been brought up in legal cases, which I think still aren't settled yet, because they have a closed marketplace. I'm sorry, Gary, what was the question?
Are you familiar with Mama Joe?
Yes.
What?
Yeah, it's a free app that lets you do streaming for different channels that are out there. Well, it works off and on pretty good.
But it wants to be able to connect to your device to do whatever it does, has permission to use the service.
I'm not sure I understand what you mean.
Well, one day I went there, and just as I usually do when the other one isn't working well, watch a football game or whatever. And before I got anywhere, this screen came up that says, this device is usable to you, but the condition is your service has to be interconnected, so that people can derive power from your device, I assume.
Huh.
For whatever purposes they use it for. I thought you might know what that was about.
No. In fact, I'd like to see whatever message you got. Maybe it would be clearer if I was to look at it.
I don't recall what the exact message was, but I just went somewhere else.
If it's a permissions message, many times those kinds of services have to cache what you're going to, like buffer what you're going to watch, and they have to do that on your hardware. And to be able to do that on your hardware, you have to give it permission. And so many times when you reinstall or an app gets updated and you get into it, one of the first things it might be asking you for is to reiterate the permissions. Part of especially the Android way of doing things is that they flush out those permissions when they reinstall a new version, and you have to reestablish those permissions. So it might be as innocent as that you're talking about.
When you're over, I'll try to bring that up to see if you
We can recreate the message. Hey, just a quick tip for anybody that's asking these questions. If you've got things on your screen that don't make sense to you, grab a smartphone and take a picture of the screen. I'd be happy to receive it in email or Messenger. There are things that pop up in front of you that sound like dangerous and scary, and they could just be nothing. And I'd be happy to help you sort that out.
What computers you can screenshot?
Yeah, absolutely. You can screenshot
a function button that captures that and puts it in a folder.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, but I think everybody knows how to take a picture, and so that's the easiest advice I can give everybody.
I don't know how to take a picture. I don't know how to get it to you.
Yeah.
That's my problem, too.
Well, you could bring it to club and show it to me on your phone. Hey, you know, that's a good point, though, Paul. You know, if you've done it on your phone, if you've done it on a smartphone, every app on your smartphone, or I should say typically every app on your smartphone, has a share option. And you should explore that. If you open up, if you hit the share option in your, like in the galleries, you're looking at your pictures, you have a picture up, in the corner of your screen is going to be an icon that maybe you've never used before. An ad hoc standard for that icon has become a partial triangle with three dots, like a dot up, a dot down, and a dot to the left, and lines attaching them. It kind of looks like a greater than sign. Yeah. And if you click on that, what it'll open up is a drawer of all the apps that you could share that content to. And that'll include things like Facebook, Messenger, your Messenger for your phone. So if you're looking at a picture, email. You could hit that. Yeah, email would be one of them on there. Or clipboard if you're going to copy it and paste it somewhere else.
Is that through of your own computer? Like if I got pictures on some file in the computer?
It's not as true as I wish it was. I mean, it is a standard, but on the computer it's not implemented as well as it is on the phone.
I had my insurance company here wanted a copy of my driver's license. I had to go to somebody to take a picture of it, send me the email of the picture, and then I knew how to transfer the email to where I needed to go. But I didn't know how to do. I put it in my scanner, and I couldn't find a copy that it scanned.
You know that you can scan from your iPad. Very, it's really easy.
There's nothing really easy.
Oh, yeah.
On your computer when you scan.
Pardon me?
On your computer when you scan, you need to go in and tell it where to scan it. I usually have it scanned to the desktop, and
me
that
too.
Way I can find it right
me
away.
Me too.
If you have it scanned to the documents, it's very difficult to find, especially if you don't have a picture of it.
Yeah, well, I wasn't aware of that until after the fact.
Which scanner do you have? Do you have an Epson?
It's an HP, I think.
It's an HP. Well, there should be somewhere in the HP that asks you where... Go in and ask you where you're going to put your scans, and I always put them on the desktop.
Me too.
I set up a file called transfer file on the desktop.
Anything that
I want to transfer or hold on for a while, when I save it, I save the transfer file.
That's
so
a good
I
idea.
Exactly where it is.
You know, on this topic of scanning, Microsoft has a basic scan program for Windows 10. If you go into the store, you can download Scanner. And it's a very basic, straightforward, press a button scan. It tells you where the scan's going, gives you a chance to look at it. It's not a great app, but it's an easy app to use.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me if I was staring straight at what the information I needed and just wasn't aware of.
Didn't recognize it. If you train yourself to know the name of the file that's automatically being created, it's normally something like scan 001, scan 002, scan 003. If you know that every time you scan, it's going to have the word scan, then you could just go down to your search and type in scan, and it would pop up immediately after the scan.
If you send it to documents, you have it sorted by date. It's going to be on the top or on the bottom.
Yeah, that's true. Irving, what do you got?
An issue with the TV, with YouTube, is they claim they can. One of the most common features is the ability to save programs to its DVR library. Evidently, you can record a show on their library and then access it later.
And then watch it later.
If that's so, then that is as good as.
That's the one you're looking for then.
Which one was it?
The one you were recommending, Paul. Yeah. What's neat about that is they just need one person to be interested in the program. And I wouldn't be surprised if we've reached a point where they're just recording everything. And when you say you want it recorded, you've just been added to the list of people that want access to it.
And I think you can put it on six devices.
Six devices?
Yeah. So
that's
whole,
awesome.
The whole pandemic.
Yes.
Last year you had a class on cell phones?
Yes, the smartphone seminar.
Do that again this year?
Maybe. I haven't been asked again to do it.
Oh, it's she'll ask.
Consider it yourself.
Yeah?
I'll talk to her.
Okay. No, I think I'd be happy to do it again. And if you're interested, if you want to see that, I've got it online. It's finally, it's on YouTube. I added all the slides in, so you can see all the slides, all the audios right there. And so if I do it again, it would probably just be an update for what's changed in the last year.
So it's on your channel
until Thanksgiving.
Okay.
You have a channel on YouTube.
Yeah. I think I posted it under. Well, you know what? If you go to the Computer Club channel, it's predominant on that channel.
Okay.
And you can get to the Computer Club channel by going to the address SCC. Yeah, SCC Club. No, what is it? It's youtube.sccclub.org. If you go youtube.sccclub.org. You know, our website is sccclub.org. So if you do youtube.sccclub.org, it'll take you to the YouTube channel. Yes, Paul.
Okay, my wife is fairly new to computers. I got her one that's actually newer than mine. It's in Spanish because that's the language she's most comfortable in. And I can't really teach her how to use it appropriately because my Spanish sucks. Can you recommend somebody who sit with my wife for a morning or whatever it takes.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys should talk to Sony about it. You know, she speaks really good English, and she's there in the office all the time, and she does appointments like that all the time in the office there. So you could set an appointment to come in for an hour. What would be best would be to have kind of a list of things you wanted to do with the computer when you show up. And then she would work with her in Spanish to how to get all those things done. Yeah. You're welcome. De nada. How's everybody doing? Are we hitting all the topics people care about?
I'm curious about one thing that you may or may not know.
What's that, Gary?
Watch TV these days. It seems like the dumber commercials are, the more often you see them. Somebody somewhere along the way do some research that said stupid cells, great big letters, or what?
I'm not sure I'm the expert to answer those questions, oh, yeah. Gary.
Yes.
Yeah, what's the other question?
Okay, I have Amazon US and Amazon.net. So my friend here, Jim, said, how do I get it in Amazon.net? MX. I said, that's easy. Go set it up. But the site remains in Spanish. My site, I can either do it in English or whatever. He uses Safari.
Nope.
I use Google.
I don't know. Is Safari doing... I have to look at our Macintosh users. I can't. Is Safari doing any inline translating? I didn't think so. I think he's got to use Chrome.
Chrome.
Chrome will do inline translating.
Okay.
And it'll do almost perfect translating for Amazon because it's used a machine to translate it into Spanish in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So unless it's a Mexican vendor writing their own description, most of the products being sold and Amazon were written by Amazon and then translated to Spanish by a machine. And so translating them back to English is just almost 100%.
Scott?
Yes?
I want to talk about the problem I had this week with the DNS proxy and the new Telmex router.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, this is not... In fact, Jim had mentioned it when we were talking about getting a new router. You'd want to get a router where you can change the DNS so that you can use a service like SmartDNS. SmartDNS proxy, to affect your entire network, you need to be able to set the DNS address in your device. The new Telmex routers, as of about 3 to 5 years, are not allowing you to do that kind of configuration. They're locked down. And it makes sense they'd be locked down because there's a secondary business of selling your information of where you go out on the internet, because that's valuable to marketers, and whether it's anonymous or not, it's valuable to marketers and advertisers to have that kind of information. And so Telmex can have contracts with advertisers that allow them to collect that information. So, and a lot, Telmex isn't the only one. A lot of ISPs are doing this across the world. They're making it difficult for you to route around that data collection. And they've done that in the Telmex routers by locking down your ability to change the DNS properties. What was that, Megan?
I haven't changed my router. My DNS worked.
That's right.
April, and then it stopped.
Well, it's the reason that you used that other router.
Oh, the ASUS.
Yeah, your ASUS router is because of a halfway decent consumer grade router will allow you to change the DNS address.
Maggie, is that the modem you use?
Yeah. I guess. It's hard to tell from that picture.
So I was helping Christine with her internet connection.
Yes.
She's been successfully using Smart DNS proxy all last year. And wanted to get it set up again this year, but she's on Telmex again. You were doing...
Well, I was on X-Pro, and it worked. Then I went to TCS, and it didn't work. And now I finally got aligned with Telmex.
So it is working.
No, it's not working.
Oh, it's not working.
Now, at this moment, it's not working, but it's because of this router issue. We were able to put it together through a piece of equipment that was questionable in quality.
Yeah.
It was working when I left, but later in the evening, it stopped working. Which I guess we shouldn't be too surprised about. It was ridiculous to try and get customers support on it. They don't even have a website for it. It was just, we were hoping it would keep working.
And I did set it up as a repeater, but it was too far to the bedroom for it to work. It worked in where the router was, the Telmex. Then when I took it into the other room, the signal was too low.
Well, the signal was strong enough to make it to the bedroom from where we originally had it.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, I would think as a repeater, it might work better on the outside of your house, like under the between the two rooms, because you've got two walls, you've got a corner, so you've got two walls of rebar and concrete to get through. Maybe if you put it on the outside of your house, it would give you more range to that other.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Somewhere there in the middle. But it was getting pretty decent range where we had it before.
Now, I did send you an email with...
I'm sorry, I got it, but I didn't have a chance to look at that particular model. In fact, if anybody has a recommendation for a consumer router that they're happy with, just shout it out now. My preference is to go for the mesh routers now, but they are a bit more expensive. And I don't have experience with the Linksys mesh routers. I have experience with Netgear, with Linda's equipment that she had. And what we learned from the equipment that Linda was using is that it was unforgiving with problems with the internet connection. So she would have problems with Telmex's router. And Telmex's routers are garbage in many respects. Aww. But what was happening is when it would have a problem, it would cause a problem with the mesh router she was using that it wouldn't recover from. And you'd have to reboot the router to recover from the problem. So even though there was a solution, that's not a very good solution. You don't want to have to go outside your car and put your hand over the turn signal every time you want to make a blink. you just want to push the button and have it blink.
Another issue. I just tried to put an extender at somebody's house, but the Telmex is so low there, I never could get the extender set up. I sat right in front, like at her house, I sat right in front of their Telmex router, and then it said to move it, so I moved it over. They have their Telmex routers here, and they have like a door out to a porch. So I was really close, within 10, 15 feet. I spent 2 days trying to get that.
Does it work badly or not at all?
Not set up. And other people's houses I've gone with extenders, and I can set them up in 10 minutes.
Does it work badly or
what
not
was
at all?
The equipment? What was the extender?
I've been using the TP-Link. The TP-Link on with the Casa app, so you can do it on your phone. And we've tried everything. And
this isn't the TP-Link that's being sold by Telmex, is it?
No.
No, okay.
It's the Casa app.
It's the one with the two antennas to plug into the...
It's got the little horseshoe.
Ah, okay.
And it works great. I have installed like 5 of them now. And they're only like $32, and they're great for the IPTVs to get them like out in your living room if you don't, you've got your router someplace else. And I haven't had any problem. In this house, I've tried two days to get it installed.
Yeah, have you tested the extender in another location?
Yeah, I've tried to install it right near the...
No, I mean like take it to your home and see if it works.
No, I could.
Because Jim's got a great point. Maybe you just got a bad one.
Maybe it's a bad one.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Which you might get around by reflashing it.
Yeah, you could try.
I have redone it 3 times.
No, reflash.
But you reflash the firmware?
I don't know how to do that.
I wouldn't worry about whether you need to do that before you take it to another location and see if it works. Because right now you're in a mindset where you're blaming Telmex's router, but in actuality you've had a lot of success with this product.
Yeah.
So maybe it's this particular unit you have that's got a problem, and you need to verify that it's working correctly.
Well, I could take it to my house.
Yeah, I'd take it home and see if it works there.
God, is there any truth to the thing about that it has to be plugged into the same circuitry in your house before it'll function properly?
Well, we do have devices called power line extenders, and they require you to be plugged into the same circuit of your electricity.
So we're talking about the circuit breaker. If you killed it, both would be on the same line.
That's right. That's what we're talking about. And I don't recommend that kind of equipment for around here simply because our wiring is so goofy that at the very least there's a very good chance you're not going to get on the same power line. But at the very worst, you might be putting a charge through whatever equipment you've hooked it up to through a cable. I hate the idea of plugging data equipment into electrical equipment.
I got one
in
of
this country.
Things and I plugged it in and it worked just fine, just as well as the one that's right alongside the TV.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're supposed to work, so I mean, I'm glad it's working. When we live in a country where you could have 130 volts plus, where there aren't any grounds in old construction, where you could expect to get shocked if you're touching the outlet in bare feet. I'm not interested in plugging an Ethernet cable into the device I just plugged into that wall and then plugging that into my computer. That bothers me. I'm worried about the kind of damage it could do.
But it cut off that annoying green wire.
Right. It's just in the way.
What kind of subjects do you have?
How are we doing? Did we hit the gambit of things people are concerned about this week? Anything new to contribute? I mean, I've got some funny stuff. Paul, did you want to contribute one more thing?
No, I had one more question.
Okay.
I love this place because I have lots of questions, and I make the most of them when I'm here. Okay, I have a truck with a cab over camper on it and a Sirius radio. The cab over camper interferes with the radio a lot.
Oh.
So I know there's a way to change that. And I have no idea. I run online and people talk about it, but I probably need to have it.
Well, I could only take a guess. Is anybody using Sirius Radio these days?
I do. And
yeah, I do.
Okay.
I've got the antenna on the top of my car, and I have a kayak on top of that. And sometimes I get interruption.
Yeah.
But it's the strangest thing. At home, if on the main street in town, which runs north and south, it cuts out. And if I turn a corner, it comes back.
East and west is fine.
And so here, when I'm coming down this street in front of Marina Terra, it cuts out.
Yeah? And it's because of the kayak, you think?
No. If I used to have a Sirius radio that was separate from the car.
Right.
And it had an antenna that went on top. So you could put that antenna on top of your cab over, then you would have uninterrupted line of sight.
However,
you're using Sirius too?
I do. Well, except all the way from Colorado, click in and out, and they kept telling me that they didn't have a problem, so they'd send a new signal to me, it would work for a while. So then when I got here, I called them, and they said, oh, we don't support Sirius in Mexico.
That's right. And in the end, that's the issue. It's not international service. It is an antenna issue because you're just at the limit of how far that signal can go.
If you go on the Ford problem site,
going the right direction,
it's
your
car. It's my car.
The antenna on the Dodge is on top of the roof.
But it's not physically blocked by the camper shell. It is. So what you need to do is get it up higher up on the camper shell. Because all you'd have to do is turn and that signal couldn't go through the camper shell. Yes?
I had a small RV one time. It was fiberglass roof. It had a false ceiling in it.
Okay.
I put the antenna in that false ceiling and I got the signal right through the fiberglass.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's a great way to do it. Yeah.
But you have a built-in Sirius into the Dodge truck.
So you do?
Oh, yeah. If it was separate, I'd buy an antenna.
You don't have a port.
But you may not have heard, but I went on the Ford site because the same thing happens with my 2018. Mm-hmm. And there's like a whole group of people that are having problems, and it's a known issue with the built-in antenna.
I'll look into that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Can you supplement it? Put another antenna?
I don't know.
Dashboard. Look at
the. Well, and it's in the back.
Yeah, you're quickly getting outside of my expertise because I don't know much about the Sirius radio stuff.
But use a CD. Stick it in.
I don't have a CD player.
I do have some quick one-off topics that people might find interesting, and I'll put links on the website too if you want to follow up on them. Microsoft has made some news recently. They have their Japanese divisions have been playing with over the last year 3-day weekends as being a norm of their work week. And what they've proven is that their workers are 40% more effective.
Are they working 10 hours a day? No, I mean, that is flex time, you know. You work 10 hours a day and take Friday off. But
4/10.
But I can't imagine that they get 40% without working 10 hours a day.
Well, you know what I didn't do? I brought this topic with me from last week, and I've forgotten everything I read about it. So I'm going to have to go back to the link and see if that does include 10-hour work days. But the news was that they had shown that they could get more productivity by giving them a longer weekend.
There are U.S. corps that are doing the same thing. Raytheon is one of them.
A big corporation like that might have planned activities for them on Fridays, too, you know.
Wives have planned it. Do
that's
the lawn.
Right.
Do that. They have the weekend.
Who wants Friday off for that?
Yeah.
We always went camping. We left on Thursday. And
not just production, but the
got campsites.
The workers themselves, are they happier now? Or is it just production, more production? Like, have they looked at the psychological impact on the health?
I am trying to refresh my memory.
Right.
Because it was the coolest topic. I remember nothing of it. I was an expert for 30 seconds in it.
Me every day.
You know what I'm realizing is the article doesn't say anything about the length of day.
Any place I've ever worked where we were given the choice of an 8-hour, 5-day week or a 10-hour, 4-day week.
You take 10-hour. Yeah. I mean, you're already there. You might as well stay 2 more hours.
When you think about it, you get there early anyways and you hang around a little bit afterwards.
Everything about this reads like nothing's changed except they gave them a free day off. So my first impression is that they didn't change anything. They're working 8-hour days. They're working the normal. I can't say 8-hour days. They're working whatever the normal work day is, and they're just not working Fridays anymore.
That. So these people are.
You're right. I could. I'm just happy I can even bring up a web page while I'm streaming all this stuff.
Are they coding or doing piecework?
Lawyer, Jim.
Yeah.
Hi.
Capture the bell. No.
Well, it's Microsoft, so they're I mean, it's everything that you might be doing. And, yeah, it would be everything. It would be customer relations. It would be technical documentation. It would be software engineers. It would be everything that's happening in Japan for Microsoft.
Of course you'd be happy if they gave you an extra day off.
That's the other thing.
Whatever it was.
Yeah.
That's one-fifth of the week. That's 20%.
Yeah, and they've increased production by
30%. I think he's right. I think it's a 10-hour day.
Well, we should come back with some more information next week to see if this is true. Because I believe that there's a lot of busy work being done in corporations that doesn't actually need to be done. It's a lot of job justification.
Well, they start with exercises every morning. Yeah.
Wait, don't misunderstand me. I'm as much of a pessimist as Bob is. I believe that if they take away Fridays and they're getting 40% more work, what they've got is a 40% margin to let people go.
Hmm.
What other subjects do you have? That's interesting, though.
I have got another Microsoft topic from this morning that I found fascinating. They have just announced glass data storage. And they actually have pictures of them holding up these little panels of glass, quartz, being used for storing data. And the idea is that the same lasers that we're using right now for LASIK surgery, these, let me see, I thought I wrote it down, femtosecond lasers.
Oh, yeah.
Can be used to store data on planes of quartz glass. The lasers, because they've been engineered to do such intricate surgeries, allow them to change the direction of boring, the polarity, and the depth that they can drill at. They're making these little pits on these little sheets of glass, so that there's 100 layers in a sheet of glass, quartz glass, each representing a different data point, and a matrix across the glass. So you end up on the glass with kind of a cube, well, a rectangular cube, of data, all represented by these pits and what Microsoft has done with their research, they've taken these planes of glass, and they've microwaved them, they boiled them, they put them through fire.
They dropped them?
Well, they're glass. I mean,
that's
one step at a time. I imagine they break. I do imagine they break.
Hammer's good.
But the idea is that they're thinking they can store data in this form for over 1,000 years.
Unless you drop it,
that's right.
That's right.
They're just as fragile as a champagne glass, but they can last 1,000 years.
But in the factory, all the floors are rubber.
In the future, all the floors are rubber. But what I love about this is, like, you've seen the movie 2001, mm-hmm. right? And all the computers, all the pieces of the computer were made of planes of glass that they would pop out and pop in.
Yeah.
And
Blade Runner, too.
Blade Runner as well, yeah. Mm-hmm. Little pieces of glass. I mean, this is a concept completely inspired by science fiction. Mm-hmm. Nobody could have had this thought if it wasn't for science fiction.
Except ancient history talks about emerald plates that are inscribed.
Oh, okay.
But nobody's ever seen one of them. They're talked about.
You're talking like Sumerians.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
Middle East. I would have thought that was South America.
I don't know how they got emerald to be in a ship.
I think if you, I would well, who, read the article.
It's our precursors from space. Brought that technology.
The ancient aliens when they were here.
What they emphasized was technologies, industries such as the film industry. Right now, when you I hadn't given it too much thought previously, but the article does a good job of making you aware of how right now the standard in the motion picture industry is to keep three backups of their media. And one is the original media that it was recorded in. And so you've got movies that are like back 70s, 60s, 50s, where they're literally having to climate control an environment for that original footage, the film itself, right? And they even talk about how the industry, in its own way, takes digital prints, like say it was recorded digitally, where they go out of their way to de-interlace the colors into red, green, and blue, and then film that, put that actual on film stock as black and white, because it's the best way to guarantee, in that technology, of saving that quality of footage. Mm-hmm. So they've got two digital prints and one analog print. Whether it was recorded in digital or whether it was recorded in analog to begin with, that's the standard for the film industry.
Don't they have like a duplicate off-site also?
That's what one of these backups would be. It's off-site, on-site, and then original media. And so what they were showing in the article, they held up a print of Superman, like from the 70s.
Well, it should be saved.
And it was like four reels, right? And then they are holding up a plane of glass, showing that the whole movie was on that plane of glass.
Wow.
Pretty cool stuff.
How big was the piece of glass that the movie was on?
It was small enough that I could put it in the palm of my hands. So in reference to like a thumb drive, there's no comparison. But for 1,000-year storage, that's really impressive. Another reason they were talking about the film industry is because the process is for writing or is for reading only when it's done. This isn't like a thumb drive. You're not going to plug in a sheet of glass and add and remove information. This is like a final storage. Yeah, in fact, when I was looking at it, my mind immediately went to microfiche. I feel like you would use this technology the same way you would use microfiche. The idea that you would compact lots of data into a small space, but you wouldn't be expected to change it. And then you'd use some optical reader to get it, to get the information out of it.
Might have a little whiteout.
What I liked about it was the idea that in the future you might have an optical glass reader, like a hand reader, and you'd be going through old archives, and you just like a slide machine, you would stick something into it, light would pass through it, and data would just start appearing.
Well, I have something totally off.
Okay.
I was in China.
Okay.
And we had total access to the internet, with the exception of Google. No Google, no Gmail.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're not allowed.
But how... I know. I found that out. But how do they discriminate just this one service?
Well, first of all, Google's helping them discriminate it.
Okay.
Google does not want to play by China's rules, and so they've worked with China to make it possible to block them because they won't honor the way that China wants information technology done in their country. Now, as a contrast, Apple's done the reverse. They've worked with China to change the way Apple products work in their country. For example, iCloud isn't available in China. Your iCloud services actually have to connect up to Chinese-controlled servers.
Through Taiwan, I think.
And so your information is absolutely not secure. When you're using iProducts in China legitimately, because they have to be hosted on a server that the Chinese government can ferret through and index at a moment's notice. They have information on you.
So you do not want to criticize their treatment of Hong Kong.
Oh, please.
Right. You don't want to. You definitely don't want to if you're a basketball player.
Yeah. No, I know, but what I mean is, if you sympathize with the demonstrators in Hong Kong.
They don't care. They really
They absolutely care. The NBA cares.
Yeah. The NBA because
they absolutely care.
That's a
because
the NBA.
Yeah, what happened was
basketball?
Yes, yeah. What happened was basketball player and I'm not a sports fan so I can't remember who it was, but he tweeted support for what was the protest in Hong Kong. And China immediately started removing all the merchandise for sale through the NBA in their country. The NBA chastised him and punished him for what was going on. And there's been this whole to-do. Now, this is the part that I love. They backpedaled on a lot of that stuff. They made some amends in China.
Mm-hmm.
But did you see the follow-up on this? They have now made it possible for NBA players to get a percentage of merchandise being sold, something they never had before.
Oh, really?
So now when you tweet support for the Chinese protests, you're cutting into your bottom line. A very American solution to this problem.
Yeah.
Now, don't you understand that if we can't sell stuff in China, you can't make money in China.
You'd slap your own head.
That's right. And this had never happened until this whole incident. Now these players get a percentage of sales of things that their signatures, their likenesses, their jerseys.
Well, isn't that fair?
They never had a piece of it before. Not before it looked like they couldn't sell to China anymore. Their Chinese market is so big that it's more profitable for them to finally give their players a piece of the action than it is to get cut off from that market because of things their players might say.
To get back to my original thing, so you're saying it was a cooperative agreement with Google.
Yeah, no, Google worked to make sure it was easy to stay out of that market. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
You're welcome. Hey, the only other thing I thought people might be interested in, and we can talk about it more next week, is Adobe Photoshop is finally on the iPad. So I don't know if you guys are aware, but Photoshop is used as the example of why you still need a PC and and you can't use an iPad for everything. They finally put it on the iPad. There's a fully functional, very powerful version of Adobe Photoshop now available.
$100.
Yeah.
$100 a month.
Well, that's it, $100 a month. But you can't buy it. You have to lease it. Yeah.
And you probably will only figure out 1% of it.
Oh, it's a ridiculous program. Yeah. It is. Particularly for the challenge.
All you have to do is get a 4-year degree to use it.
That's right. You'd think if you were going to start paying monthly for it, they would also be teaching you first.
Yes, you would. Whoops,
hold on to that. Just a little careful here.
Okay.
I've got it pulled away. You can back out now with confidence.
With
complete confidence.
You need a 2-year degree, now it's 4.
Right? You need a 4-year degree to compete for that McDonald's job these days.
Thank you.
Pretty soon you'll need that 4-year degree to get the Uber position.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. We'll see you next week.
I'll come up with an IA robot with Eclipse burgers.
You know, that's what I've always said is the problem with a $15 minimum wage is it's cheaper to sell burgers out of a vending machine. So you're guaranteeing those people are going to lose their jobs, no matter how much more money they need.
Oh, bring jobs back to the United States. Yeah, you walk into a car factory and there won't be any people.
Right. Yeah, the jobs are coming back, but they're not for people. They're for robots.
So, in other words, robotics is the field to get into.
Right. That's right. Well, that is the up-and-coming career choice will be robot maintenance.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be maintaining all those automated systems.
Hiring those people from BattleBox.
Right. That's right.
You ever watch that?
I used to, long ago. I haven't watched it since it came back. Well, all of you out there in internet land, we have reached the end of our meeting. We're only a minute over, and we've run out of topics. Thank you for joining us today. I'll reiterate again, I'm Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions, and this is the San Carlos Computer Club. If you have enjoyed this and you're interested in other things we're doing, back recordings, or what's coming up in the future, check out the website at sccclub.org. I think I mentioned earlier in the meeting, our YouTube channel is easy enough to get to, if I can remember the address to it. It's youtube.sccclub.org. Just add YouTube dot to the beginning of our web address, and you'll go straight to the YouTube channel. And if you're looking for computer help anywhere out there in internet land, get a hold of me. I'm Scott at internationalcs.net. Our website is internationalcs.net. It's International Computer Solutions. If you're looking for help here locally, you can call our office at 226-0209. And again, we meet every Tuesday from 9:15 to 10:15-ish here in Tequila's in San Carlos. If you're here on one of our meetings, come stop by and join us. If you're just in San Carlos looking for a place to eat, this is a great place to eat. And they have one of the fastest connections to the internet available. They've got fiber optics in here. Sometimes we'll get 30, 40 megabits a second. It's an excellent place. They give us good table service. They give us good free Wi-Fi. They treat us right, and they give me nothing for saying that. I'm just happy to share. So until next week, we'll meet you again Tuesday at 9:15 here at Tequila's. Until then, Tech On. I'm Scott Stimson, and we'll see you then. Adios. I can't believe all the technical frustrations we had at the beginning, and towards the end, everything's working perfect.
Of course.